Hello, my name is Greg Pere, and welcome to the NECA Award for 2020 honoring Billy Mitchell. This special edition Sonic Tonic podcast is brought to you by the California Jazz Foundation, a nonprofit that assists California musicians who have dedicated themselves to their craft but have fallen on rough times. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this award podcast, and I will explain the meaning of NECA and how this award came to be. Since 2013, the California Jazz Foundation has honored those individuals who have devoted their professional lives to supporting and enhancing the world of jazz, blues, and the musicians who make the music. The NECA Award was created to acknowledge the Baroness Benonica de Königswartha. Lovingly known as NECA to all the musicians she befriended and supported. Now, NECA was a Rothschild blue blood who relocated to New York in the early 1950s and wholeheartedly embraced the jazz culture and its musicians. Her generosity is legendary, and many compositions were written in her honor, thus enriching the genre. She was loved by the likes of Charlie Parker, Thelonious Monk, and Art Blakey for her commitment, both in material and emotional support to their world. Now, you got to remember, this is the 1950s, and she did all of this in spite of being slandered in the press for the company she kept. That said, she provided a home for dozens of musicians and as many felines. She loved all the cats. The Baroness exemplifies the mandate of the California Jazz Foundation to help jazz and blues musicians in need. Now, the recipients of the NECA Award have varied backgrounds, but share a common thread of community support, whether it be through mentorship, education, philanthropy, skill, or leadership. Past honorees have included such luminaries as Ruth Price, Catalina Popescu, John Clayton, Corky Hale and Mike Stoller, Dr. Bobby Rodriguez, Kenny Burrell, and Patrice Rushen. Billy Mitchell is a noteworthy addition to this roster. While the foundation presents this award at its annual April fundraising gala, entitled Give the Band a Hand, such was not the case in 2020 due to the coronavirus pandemic. So after devoting much thought and energy to a substitute platform, it was agreed that the California Jazz Foundation would honor Billy Mitchell, or Mitch as he likes to be called, with the NECA Award within a podcast format. On the personal side, for me to host this event is a great honor because I know that at his core, Mitch is a great humanitarian. I've known him since the 1970s, and in that time, he has built a reputation for being a marvelous musical talent, a great band leader, a great mentor, a community activist helping disadvantaged kids, a great educator through his nonprofit, SAPPA, spelled S-A-P-P-A, and the list goes on. Now, when I started the Sonic Tonic series, I wanted to focus on the stories that jazz and blues artists had to tell. I felt this would help to deepen the connection between audience and artists beyond the wonderful music my guests create. This Sonic Tonic episode of the 2020 California Jazz Foundation NECA Award is no exception. For the folks out there who know Billy Mitchell, you already know what a remarkable and loving human being he is. For the rest of you who don't, I'm first going to play a 2015 Billy Mitchell performance with his big band at the Levitt Pavilion in Pasadena. Then I'm going to play 15 minutes of an interview I did with Mitch on May 28th of 2020. After these two segments, I think you'll know why Billy Mitchell is receiving the California Jazz Foundation's 2020 NECA Award. This Sonic Tonic podcast is going to be a celebration and a party. So let's get it started with Billy Boogie. As promised, here's the May 28th of 2020 interview I did with Mitch for Sonic Tonic episode number 2. Well, Mitch, I want to welcome you to Sonic Tonic.
Beautiful. Thank you for having me.
So for our Sonic Tonic audience, fill us in on Billy Mitchell. When did you arrive in sunny California?
Yes, I came to California in, I think it was 71.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, my brother had a TV show called Barefoot in the Park.
Mm-hmm.
My brother was a comedian, Scoey Mitchell.
Oh, I know Scoey Mitchell. I didn't know he was your brother.
Yeah. So at the time, he was doing a lot of work and everything, and I decided to leave Atlanta. I had finished school, and I was working down there. I was teaching, and I decided that I'd like to follow the music business or give it a shot.
Sure.
It was either go to New York, which is where I grew up, and face that cold weather, or come out to California where my brother was doing well. I chose to come out to Los Angeles, and I've been there ever since. It was 1971 when I came out.
Well, that's a lot of years between 71 and now, and I know I speak for a lot of people when I say I'm glad you stayed.
Well, it's a very challenging environment and a very challenging business when you're trying to develop yourself when you're in the arts. It's a very competitive environment because you have so much talent and so many people that do the same thing that you do, and they all do it well. Coming to Los Angeles is no joke. A lot of people get convinced that the sunshine is the panacea, that fixes everything. The sunshine is good, but it's still as challenging as any other environment when you're trying to get into business.
Well, the sun is good, but the sun can burn you, and the city is good, but the city can burn you and burn you out.
That it will. That it does. That it does. When I came out, the first job I had, because I came out by myself, I left my family in Atlanta, and then they went up and stayed with my parents in Buffalo, my wife and son. So I came out here. They gave me a chance to come out here and see what it was like. So when I first came out here, I happened to get a job at Paramount Studio in the music department, in the film department, and, you know, running film back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a chance to sit in on a lot of the recordings at Glenn Studio, where they recorded all the tracks for Motion Picture.
Right.
And got a chance to see the high inside of the music business.
Yes.
At the same time, I met some musicians, and I had the opportunity to start playing gigs and had a little trio with a young lady named Tammy Burdette. She was a female bassist. This was long before it was in vogue to see a young lady playing bass or drums or anything other than piano, probably. And you know, a man named Joe Brown. And we traveled a lot. We traveled to Asia and South America and played around a lot. And at the same time, I started teaching. I was substitute teaching and ended up teaching regularly. And then I worked at Juvenile Hall for about 4 years. And all this while I tried to hold on to my life in music, because I brought my family out here and I had to make a living. So I taught school, and I worked for Gallo Wine Company as a salesman for a couple of years, right out in the area, right out in Watts.
Wow.
This was the area where now we're encouraging young people to study music. I used to sell wine to all the mom and pop stores out there for Gallo.
Wow.
Things happen when you're available, when you are there. And good things happened to me musically because I was here.
Right.
And I was trying to connect with people. One of the early jobs that I had, you were actually the producer for Motown, for Diana Ross, and I worked for Sarita Wright.
Oh, yeah.
We toured, and you were the musical director for that.
Yeah, Sarita, great artist.
My experience in music has been very scattered. I've had a chance to do my own thing, you know, with my own groups and recordings, and I've had the chance to play with some of the greats in the music business.
Yeah, that's one of the things that really struck me, was that your history is so rich and your experiences are so varied. It seems that you have a wide palette to draw from when it comes to dealing with people.
When you can have different and various experiences and embrace those experiences. Instead of being overwhelmed or resistant to the opportunities, when you can embrace these opportunities, you have a good chance of elevating yourself, becoming more aware of what the reality of the music business is. My background has always made me question whether something is feasible or not, mm-hmm. whether something is workable or not, whether this is something that you should put your energy into. Mm-hmm. And I've tried to apply logic to the things that I've done. I'm a product of the 60s. When I was at Morehouse College, I was a member of SNCC with Julian Bond and John Lewis and all the guys.
Right.
Spent a lot of time in the movement. I spent my share time in jail. And that was to make changes.
Yes.
That was to correct deficiencies and inequities. So that was my orientation. I was 16 years old when I went to Morehouse.
Wow.
And so I was indoctrinated early as to the need to react to inequity and the need to act responsibly to change things.
Well, my brother was certainly faced with that in 2020.
Oh, yeah, more so than ever now.
Yeah, I'm sad. I'm angry that these things keep happening. But in many of our institutions, we must have accountability and people simply doing the right thing. I mean, that's a fight we all have to undertake.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think the average American knows that there's inequities. It's just that the response varies. The
sure.
response is different. The response to those inequities is different. And now we see a situation where it cannot be denied. It cannot be ignored.
Exactly.
And it's being embraced by people all over the world. So it's an international issue. I saw some kids in some foreign countries reacting to their own police issues.
Mm-hmm.
These are the changes. These are the changes that you either see and ignore or you see and you address.
Yes, and it's time for all of us to realize that human life and caring for others is sacred.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, that's one of the things that forced me to get involved in this educational system. I have an education background, but it has never been the major part of my life. But I did have an understanding of the workings of school districts and whatnot and some of the politics and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And when I found out that arts had been removed from the schools, it never registered. I had heard about this for years, but it really didn't register because I didn't have any interaction with the schools on that level. I was substituting and, you know, working every now and then. And but I didn't realize how widespread and how systematic the removal of the arts had been. When I started working with young people to encourage them to be involved in competitions and trying to identify African-American and Latino kids to get them involved in the opportunities. And I went into the schools and I saw schools that had not had music and art for years. And it just blew my mind.
Hmm.
It blew my mind because I know how important it is. I know educators know how important it is. As far as creating a well-rounded education, a positive education, everybody knows how important the arts are. And so I was devastated to see that the very thing that we know creates a better human being had been removed from the system.
Wow, my friend, that's a great way to put it.
Yeah, I was blown away. And I was further perplexed when I went into the inner city schools and there was very little discussion. There was very little reaction from the community, at least that I experienced. But when I went into the communities like Arcadia and Temple City, who actually, after funds had been cut, the parents and the organization stepped up and actually created budgets that were more than when the states were funding the school.
Yeah, that's what happens when people simply care.
And it's a part of the culture, too.
Yes, yes.
It's a part of the culture. And unfortunately, in your underserved areas, we don't have strong PTAs and all these organizations who advocate equity in school and education. So we set about the business of it. At least I said, well, let's start somewhere. Let's just offer, some piano classes or guitar classes. And that's how it started.
Well, for people who don't know, you started an organization called SAPA, and I'll let you explain that later. But it's obvious you've certainly lived your life considering the needs of others, and for that, my friend, I applaud you.
Well, thank you. Thank you, sir.
Oh, you're more than welcome.
You know, and there was a lot of soul searching. When you take on these efforts that are not necessarily financially feasible, and when you start working and putting your energy into helping others that might not have the opportunity and resources to help themselves, as opposed to just using your talent or your music just for financial gain. We had to make those decisions. I had to make that decision.
Sure.
Did I want to continue on the road and playing music and working in nightclubs? And I saw myself as a struggling musician, but I also saw myself as someone who could possibly make a difference. And I had to determine that that was much more important than adding myself to a list, an already long list of wonderful artists who might not have the background that I have, that might not be able to help in a situation. And I said, well, I know, I'm comfortable doing this. I'm very comfortable. Let me put some of my time and my energy into that. And I've tried to maintain my performance. I've tried to maintain my playing. I've continued to play. But it's been a part of what I do.
Yes, what you've given back, in my opinion, is just tremendous. And I'm sure there are a lot of people out there who have been your students or people who've been mentored by you or supported by you who feel the same way, that you're at the top of their list as someone who's one of the good guys.
I certainly hope so. Very few people actually know what they look like or what they sound like or what other people really think about them. Very few people can be certain of all these things. Over the last few years, I've run into situations where people that were early students or came through the program have contacted me to thank me, have sent me notes to thank me. And that's the only way that I or anyone else will know if what we're doing is impacting anyone.
Yeah.
The only way we know is through awards like I've been so graciously given, where an organization looks at what you're doing and say, hey, you're doing something good.
Well, Mitch, to that point, when the California Jazz Foundation, the organization I belong to, was deciding on who to give our annual NECA Award for outstanding contributions to the well-being of the jazz community, you were at the top of that list, and believe me, my friend, it was a no-brainer. So I mentioned the name of your organization earlier, but if you could refresh us on the name and any other information, that would be great.
The name of the organization is SAPPA, S-A-P-P-A, P as in Paul. It's an acronym for Scholarship Audition Performance Preparatory Academy. Now, I don't know why we did that in the beginning, you know, because I think a guy gave it to me as a joke, and I didn't know it was supposed to be a joke. But it did identify what we initially set up, and that was to help kids learn how to audition and interview and stuff. So that was what it was, and we haven't changed the name. We just used the acronym SAPPA, and we're at SAPPA.net, www.sappa.net. And everything that we've done, why we do it, where we do it, how we do it, the schedules, the people who support us, everyone who has contributed to this program is listed on our page. We try to recommend everybody, no matter what their contribution has been. And we have a resource page that also lists scholarships and other music programs all over Southern California. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, we're updating it as we speak. And so a family or a child can go to that website, SAPPA.net, and get what we hope will be life-changing information.
Well, Mitch, I want to thank you again for contributing to Sonic Tonic. It's been a pleasure for me to know you as a musical colleague and, more importantly, as a longtime friend. And guess what? We're still on the planet.
Definitely. Thank God. And I look forward to fellowshipping with you guys in the future and hopefully performing for or with and whatever we can do. But I know there's going to be a wonderful light at the end of this dark tunnel. I believe that.
Yes, I do too. Well, again, Mitch, thank you so much, man. And you have a wonderful day.
Thank you, Greg. You too. Be safe.
Take care. Hopefully from that May 28th, 2020 interview, you now understand why the California Jazz Foundation is honoring Billy Mitchell with our NECA Award. In putting this presentation together, we reached out to the music community for videos and testimonials. Please go to our website, californiajazzfoundation.org, and there you can find the video tributes honoring Mitch. Among the offerings that came in, there was one email that really got my attention. It was from a businessman named Bob Atiyah, the founder of Yar Lung Records. Yar Lung Records is a Grammy-winning company that primarily deals in high-end audiophile recordings of classical music. It's spelled Yarlung, and they are definitely worth Googling. Now, Mitch's association with them is through his wife, Yuko Mabuchi, who's a renowned classical and jazz pianist in her own right. The email Bob sent me is very short, but in my opinion, it beautifully summarizes Billy Mitchell the man. It said, and I quote, "When we think of heroes in the ancient world, we imagine Achilles, Aeneas, Cleopatra, Hatshepsut, Gazar of Ling, Akbar the Great, and on and on. These characters did great things in history or legend, but often at great cost to those in the communities around them. Modern heroes like Billy Mitchell, a titan in the jazz world, has built a life that honors his talent as a musician, but that concentrates on the good he can do in his surrounding communities. Billy is an educator and mentor first in his heart these days, having decided in the second half of his life that giving what he can to upcoming musicians is the greatest legacy he can impart. Billy is my hero, and hero to thousands of school children in Watts, Willowbrook, and Compton who have the privilege of learning at SAPA, Billy's after-school music education program. Billy, we salute and thank you for your compassion and service to your fellow human beings." End quote. Bob Atiyah, Yar Lung Records. That, to me, sums up Mitch to a T. Okay, as I said at the beginning, this podcast is a celebration, and what's a celebration without music? So before I get into the actual presentation of the NECA Award, I'm going to play a Billy Mitchell track called Lion's Den. You heard a bit of it at the opening, and now here's the complete track. All right. Yeah, that's grooving. I'd now like to turn it over to the president and founder of the California Jazz Foundation, Edith Bronston.
I was always aware of Billy Mitchell, of his music, and of his loving reputation within the jazz community. But I was not aware of his humanity and his overriding commitment to the children in the underserved segment of the LA population. I met Mitch personally in a surprising way. A few days after the California Jazz Foundation's annual gala of a few years ago, I was surprised to find a link from Billy Mitchell in my inbox. It linked me to a YouTube performance at the California Jazz Foundation's annual gala a few days earlier by Yuko Mabuchi, herself an outstanding jazz pianist and recording artist. I immediately checked it out and was absolutely thrilled by the professionalism of the clip. So then and there, I called Mitch. I introduced myself. I thanked him for posting the clip, for taking the clip, and for his support of the California Jazz Foundation. And I asked him if we could meet. He said, sure. And shortly thereafter, I became acquainted with one of my all-time favorite people. What can I say about Mitch that everybody in the world has already said? To say that Billy Mitchell deserves a hero's place in the pantheon of self-effacing heroes is an understatement. For almost 20 years, he has provided musical training for kids in communities with little or no musical educational opportunities. He started out by training those kids who have had no access for learning how to compete for music and art scholarships. By the way, he has not had any recompense by the city of Los Angeles for all of the work that he's done. Earlier this year, it was my great honor to nominate Mitch as an LA Jazz Hero by the Jazz Journalists Association. He has received innumerable international awards for jazz education, but this really was close to my heart as a former jazz hero myself. And to add icing to the cake, I was asked to present him with the award. It was just a wonderful thing, and it is now my joy as president of the California Jazz Foundation to be part of this award ceremony and to be able to introduce Billy Mitchell. It is my absolute delight to call this man my friend. So all I can say is thank you, Mitch, for who you are and what you do, and thanks for being my friend.
When it comes to presentations, there's always a presenter. For the California Jazz Foundation's 2020 NECA Award, H.B. Barnum will be doing the honors on behalf of the foundation. H.B. is someone I've known for a very long time, actually since I was a teenager. As a professional musician, I've worked with him on several projects, including Aretha Franklin. H.B. is an L.A. legend whose background in the entertainment industry is quite remarkable. Here's the short story according to Wikipedia. H.B., or H., as we all call him, was born July 15, 1936, and is an American pianist, arranger, record producer, songwriter, and former child actor. He won a nationwide talent contest at the age of 4 and starred in the motion picture Valley of the Sun Marches On. He went on to appear in numerous TV shows, including The Jack Benny Show. In the 1950s, he sang in several doo-wop groups and recorded 3 albums as a singer-pianist during the 1960s. Since that time, he became most widely known as an arranger for a wide variety of performers, including, get this, Lou Rawls, Count Basie, O.C. Smith, Frank Sinatra, The Supremes, Donna Lauren, Aretha Franklin, Little Richard, and Gladys Knight. I think that speaks volumes of H.B. All that said, it's now time to honor Billy Mitchell with the California Jazz Foundation's 2020 NECA Award. Mr. Barnum, you have the mic.
Indeed, my pleasure to give the Mika Award to Mr. Billy Mitchell. Billy is not only a great musician, and you know, a funny cat also. We have some stories, and we have some eating places that we go to, but that's another story. Right now, for Mr. Billy Mitchell to be recognized as not only a fine musician, a fine composer, but as a community activist who works with the young people in the community, it is so important to have people like Billy with us, especially during these times where we're going through so much in our communities. So again, it is my pleasure, my honor to present the Mika Award to Mr. Billy Mitchell.
I'd like to thank the Jazz Foundation for this wonderful acknowledgement. I think it's difficult for most award recipients to feel as though they truly deserve this kind of recognition, given the fantastic work and sacrifice of so many individuals around the world. But I am deeply appreciative of this award because it's about the work that I do in service to the community through my work with young people. It's not about selling records or how many Grammys or movies or whatnot. It's about our work in preparing and encouraging a new generation, especially from disadvantaged communities. We want these kids to get into the business and make contributions. And I'm really grateful to be recognized by an organization that cares about people. Often, people in the arts and entertainment business are left on their own at the end of the career. The nature of this entertainment business makes musicians and artists especially vulnerable to economic problems. I think we've all learned through this recent pandemic how quickly one's life can be turned upside down. The California Jazz Foundation has been helping individuals in crisis for some time, and I pray that you will continue your great work. I will certainly cherish this award, and I plan on continuing to serve for as long as I'm able to do so. Special thanks for my good partner, H.B. Barnum, who has done such wonderful work down through the years. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mitch. No one deserves the Nika Award more than you. Before I close, I want to thank Billy Mitchell, H.B. Barnum, Bob Attia, all the musicians who played on Mitch's tracks, Edith Bronston and the rest of the California Jazz Foundation board, Chris Dobbs and his team, Steve Baker, our gala producer, Ann Dobbs, the California Jazz Foundation administrator, and Robert Sachs, our publicist. Again, I want to thank you all for making this podcast possible. Well, that's going to do it for this podcast. I'm going to take it out on another very lively Billy Mitchell tune called Mojo Workin'. Mojo hand.
working. I got my mojo working. I got my mojo working.
Thank you for listening to this special edition of Sonic Tonic, which was the 2020 NECA Award presented by the California Jazz Foundation to Billy Mitchell. Please visit our website at californiajazzfoundation.org and find out how your donations can help make a difference in the life of a musician in need. Until the next one, please enjoy the rest of this Billy Mitchell track. This is Greg Perret signing off and wishing you all the best.
I got my mojo working, but it just won't work on you.